Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocktails, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to shared rules, norms, and respects, we're not even obligated to consider your opinion any longer, because the social contract is that important to a civil society. I'm your friend and host, Dan, the Worshipin' Dionysus Man, sipping on some science today. I'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We hope you're having a good time. We're here to have a good time as well. Everybody stay tuned until the end of the show. We're going to be talking about 10 sex-crazed celebrities that you actually have got a shot with. Don't miss that. As always, I am joined by some fine and fascinating people here. With me today in the lounge is Amber, my sister who loves the woo-woo and thinks she's always right too. Amber, how are you doing today?
I am hanging in there. Don't forget your blood pressure meds. That's the lesson of the week.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. No, you're fine. Both sides of our family tree don't have multiple heart attacks. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm going to be perfectly fine.
There's no genetic component. You're good. You're good.
Thank you, COVID.
Drink up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that really messed with the blood clots. Okay, we got a really fun and informative show today brought to us by U.S. Robotics and Mechanical Men Corporation. Three laws we could all agree on. We're going to take a quick look back at Ludwig II of Bavaria and his mysterious death. We've got some hot science news, a new study showing which beverages are more hydrating than water when you need that quick drink. The Cascadia subduction zone, big earthquake zone that they've been studying in some cool ways. Nice. We got some bullshit and snake oil involving panhandling for funeral expenses, something to look out for. We're going to play a rousing rendition of Fact Check in Time. And of course, we'll wrap things up with a feel-good story. But we do encourage everyone to reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com. That's T-A-L-E-S. It's not cocktails. It's half cocked tails. Maybe you want to text us a message or leave a voicemail at 443-499-8253. You can even just come drop a comment over on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. Got all those fine things. But for now, let's hop in that time machine.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in a time machine.
We're talking about Ludwig II of Bavaria. He was born August 25th, 1845, at the Nymphenburg Palace in Munich, Bavaria, which is in Germany today. His parents were King Maximilian II and of Bavaria and Princess Marie of Prussia. Okay. And back in the 1800s, Bavaria was very fertile plains, big agricultural economy. And so it's not like they were mining a bunch of minerals and were rich on gold. Like, think, you know, a farming country. They made their money selling food to people. They had very traditional values for 1800s Europe, which means, you know, man works outside, woman takes care of the home. In an agrarian society, everybody's working the farm, right?
It's very true.
You don't have the option. There's no stay-at-home mom job.
Definitely no stay-at-home mom jobs in an agrarian society.
Unless you're nobility. Unless you're nobility,
well,
right?
Nobility is a different. Whole different beast.
Yeah. We're talking two different things. But the nobles were had their gender roles clearly defined, right?
Right.
So Ludwig was raised in the Bavarian Alps. His king father made sure he got a very comprehensive education. His mother played a little bit of a part in his life, did try to nurture artistic interests, try to encourage him to be an artist. But young Ludwig had a preference for solitude and introspection. He was a quiet boy. Who loved medieval legends and romantic tales.
Awesome.
Don't we all?
I am a romantic, sadly.
He studied language, history, philosophy. He studied science. Woo, go science! He loved music, especially loved the Wagner operas. Richard Wagner or Wagner.
Who doesn't? Like, they're brilliant.
Flight of the Valkyries.
Hey, the Bugs Bunny him. Song. You remember growing up? That's how I learned all the good classical music was from Bugs Bunny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, don't you remember? Maybe you're too young. Am I the only one here?
No idea. I think he did the Bridal March, too. Like
He did a lot.
Wagner did a lot.
Yeah.
Did a lot. And this isn't about Wagner, but we'll that was definitely his favorite time. Artist and a contemporary, you know, mm-hmm. Wagner was alive mm-hmm. when Ludwig was alive. So he is a prince.
Right.
So he's mingling with the other nobles. He's living mm-hmm. in palaces, grand Bavarian palaces. Mm-hmm. He had a younger brother named Otto that he was close and is said to have had a complex relationship with. And I didn't dive too much into that because I don't want to spend all day on his childhood.
I think most siblings have a very complex relationship.
As a kid, being mentored by all the king's advisors and whatnot, mm-hmm. he had great education. He actually started to sketch architectural designs.
Oh, wow. As a kid.
Yeah, that's which cool. kind of foreshadowed a bit of his future.
Mm.
His parents died, and he had to become king at age 18.
Oh, wow.
And
very young.
Stepped right into very political, turbulent Austro-Prussian rivalry.
Oh, boy.
Historically, that Austria-German-Prussian area mm-hmm. has been a little chaotic. People might remember from the years following this, but just it was still there in the 1800s. It was there, but really early on, when you're the king, it doesn't matter if you're having geopolitical struggles. You're gonna order your favorite. You're gonna ask your favorite musician in the world,
right,
to
right.
come give you some concerts. He
heck yeah.
He gets Wagner to his court. And immediately he's like, I'm your patron. Make music for me. I will pay anything you want, whatever you need.
Oh, wow.
You got it. And it's said to have had a profound impact on both Ludwig and Wagner. They had an emotional connection. Wagner.
Were they just friends?
Well, we don't know. Some of his later works, such as Tristan and Isolde, and The Ring, and Die Meistersinger, were completed while under Ludwig's patronage.
Mm. Okay.
The suppositions that they may have been closer
mm-hmm.
than just king and a patron.
Mm-hmm.
We've got like one letter from the 15th of May, 1865. Mm-hmm. Which would have been when he was 19, 1 year after being king. Ludwig wrote to Wagner, "Dear friend, oh, I see clearly that your sufferings are deep-rooted. You tell me, beloved friend, that you have looked deep into the hearts of men and seen there the villainy and corruption that dwells within. Yes, I believe you, and I can well understand that moments come to you of disgust with the human race. Yet always we will remember, will we not, beloved? That there are yet many noble and good people for whom it is a real pleasure to live and work. And yet you say you are of no use of this world. I pray you, do not despair. Your true friend conjures you. Have courage. Love helps us to bear and suffer all things. Love brings at last the victor's crown.
Mm-hmm.
Love recognizes, even in the most corrupt, the germ of good. She alone overcomes all. Live on, darling of my soul. I recall your own words to you. To learn to forget is a noble work. Let us be careful to hide the faults of others. It was for all men indeed that the Savior died and suffered. And now what a pity that Tristan cannot be presented today. Will it perhaps tomorrow? Is there any chance? Unto death, your faithful friend, Ludwig.
Yeah, I would say that that is a very romantical, encouraging letter between friends. It's right. Interesting to me. A lot, I mean, this happens a lot in history where we have queer folk who, for whatever reason, you know, usually the time and place that they're living, that they can't be obvious about their true feelings. We see that with Emily Dickinson as well, that she, you know, was just friends. She never married. Her best friend marries her brother, but they're much closer than I think a friendship would be. So we see this a lot. I'd be willing to guess that they were lovers, they were partners, and
now
his stature as king would prevent him from being able to live authentically, right? He's in a very controlled life now as king, and he has a duty to provide an heir.
Oh, he's got power, but also expectations.
Yeah.
This letter, he is talking about Tristan and Isolde, which is a very old love story. And it's Tristan and Isolde is the musical piece Wagner wrote.
Right.
So we can reasonably assume some of the love he mentions might easily be, he's talking about the romantic work.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
when you say phrases like
beloved,
yet we will always remember parentheses will we not comma beloved question mark
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and if you think about it, I mean, he's king, so his letters in writing, he's probably aware, may be read by someone other than his intended, and being able to couch it in the manner that he does by referring to Tristan and Isolde, he's able to
talk, right?
It's like a cover. I don't know. It's all supposition because we don't know for sure, but I'm pretty confident. I would say that this was Tristan and Isolde was the cover.
Platonic and non-romantic love mm-hmm. knows no gender or sexuality.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Right.
A gay man can love a straight man. They can love each other and not have any romantic bias.
Very true.
It doesn't, like,
very
none
true.
Of that matters. But when, and I know in the people in my life that I have platonic love for, I don't add this much romantic schmaltzy language.
Right. Yeah.
I reserve this
language
for romantic love.
Right. It's the romantic part of it. Yeah.
So he's got this relationship with Wagner. It creates some tension, as you might imagine, mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. some of the ministers in Bavaria.
Which would be another clue.
Which is another clue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they perceived that Wagner had a lot of influence over him, and mm-hmm. rightfully so, mm-hmm. listen to that letter.
Right.
So, he also, you know, not one to dally, he starts to build three very famous building projects. The Neuschwanstein Castle, Linderhof Palace, and Herrenchiemsee Palace.
That H Palace, however you say it.
And he used very, like, romantic and gothic designs from, like, romantic fairy tales and whatnot.
Ooh.
And did not spare in a penny.
Uh-huh.
So that started to stretch the treasury. And in addition to Wagner, it should be mentioned, he had close relationships with two other guys, Paul von Thurn on taxes, who was a prince, and a guy named Richard Hornig. They were known and openly had deep emotional bonds, which fueled a lot of public speculation at the time.
Right.
At the time, people were like, I don't know if Ludwig's going to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they did like his artistic vision, just not his personal life. You know, he was supporting a lot of painters, sculptors, architects. Bavaria was starting to have a cultural renaissance under him. Munich became a vibrant cultural hub. All these artisans and laborers, he was employing a lot of people.
That's fantastic.
Right? To do these public works.
Mm-hmm.
It, however, the other powers that be along with the king, because the king doesn't just rule in an absolute dictatorship tile style manner. In not every monarchy, they're all a little different.
Right.
He's getting the country in debt. He's spending money they don't yet have.
Okay.
And he's starting to really strain those relationships with his ministers. He's getting more and more reclusive and erratic. And they all got together and they've got this guy named Dr. Bernhard von Gooden to take testimony from servants and courtiers.
Okay.
This guy didn't actually see Ludwig. He sits down and he takes testimony from all these people who are around Ludwig and declares Ludwig insane.
Oh, wow.
They arrest him on June 10th, 1886.
Oh, my goodness.
And they transport him away to a place called Schlossberg.
Okay.
Okay, in isolation, away from the city. They confine him under the supervision of Dr. Gooden. He's not allowed to even see any of his friends or confidants that might be loyal to him.
Wow. Well, if he wasn't insane before, then he will be now that he's being isolated from everyone that loves him.
And the only person he can talk to is the doctor who declared him insane and would very much not have a great life if Ludwig was found to not be insane, right? Right.
Yeah.
It's gonna end his career, maybe put him in prison, maybe get him put to death.
Yeah, he has to back up his claims.
I'm gonna keep you insane, right?
Right.
Because the public was absolutely shocked. Absolutely shocked at this, and were said to have had a sense of resignation. Because they and powerless, Ludwig's younger brother Otto was also declared mentally unfit to rule due to severe mental health issues. So it went to the uncle, Prince Leopold. Right?
This is sounding like a Shakespeare play.
But it happened after Shakespeare died, so he couldn't write about it.
Right, but I mean.
Yeah, and that dude, when he died, his son became Prince Regent, who was Prince Regent, became king. So it switched to the cousin's line.
Okay.
It very much reads like it was a monarchy steal, right? Like, we've got the line of succession, and they're like, you know what? I got the people in my pocket. These boys they're soft. They're into the arts and shit. Oh, they don't know the hard realities of life.
Right.
So Ludwig's arrested. He's confined with Dr. Gooden. He's absolutely devastated, I'm certain. Lots of rumors and stories about his eccentric behavior started flying around to keep the public doubting he was able to rule. And suddenly, 3 days later, three days of this, and at Lake Starnberg, near the castle in Berg, they found Ludwig and Dr. Gooden both dead.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. And the details are stunningly few.
Which is also very suspicious in the grand scheme of things. Like, that's... Now, my question, do you know, was Dr. Gooden also the one that declared Otto insane? Or was that another doctor?
From what I understand, Otto had a history. Like, it wasn't out of nowhere. Although Dr. von Gooden was someone who examined Otto at one point.
Oh, interesting. So this particular blog post that someone made as they researched.
Give him a shout out. Where is it?
King Ludwig II. Girls in White Dresses. S.J. Braun. This is from 2012. So without really digging into it. Looks like it's still an active blog, though. There's comments and things that were posted recently. So, Girls in White Dresses, thank you for this information. As Otto got older, he showed signs of his family's famous Wittelsbach eccentricity. So it does sound like there's something that's running through this family line. He stared off in space during meetings.
But not on the uncle's side.
Right? He was unresponsive at times. Towards the end, he is reported to have spent his days barking like a dog, screaming in a high-pitched voice, banging his head against the walls. Yeah, so it sounds like there's definitely...
But Amber, that's not his conspiracy theory.
It's true.
Okay, well, let's get back to Ludwig while he's still alive. So the evening of June 13th, Ludwig and Dr. Gooden go for a walk along the shores of the lake. They were accompanied by two attendants. And these attendants were instructed to stay at a distance. They don't return for several hours. A search is initiated. Around 11:30 p.m., bodies are found in shallow water near the shore of the lake. Ludwig was found floating face down, Dr. Gooden's body nearby.
Oh, wow.
So officially, they said he drowned.
Yikes.
Even though there was no water in the lungs. Some reports from the initial investigation mentioned that there was no water found in Ludwig's lungs, which typically, if you drown...
you usually have some water in your lungs.
Usually. Now, technically, it would be possible if there was something obstructing the pipes to where water wasn't going into the lungs, and but you still weren't breathing because water was blocking air. I mean,
there is a phenomenon called dry drowning. I'm not remembering at the moment what all the ins and outs of it. Oh, here it is. Okay. So dry drowning is a term used to describe a lung injury that occurs when water is inhaled through the nose or mouth, which causes the vocal cords to spasm and close. So he could have coughed up the water, but the spasms in his throat closed off the throat and he couldn't breathe.
Yes. Okay. All right. So my supposition was correct.
Yes.
You could have something block air from coming in. Okay. So there were no significant visible injuries reported on his body. So they didn't think there was any kind of struggle in the water. Dr. Gooden's body, however, showed signs of a struggle. His face was scratched and his fingernails were broken, suggesting he may have fought back against an attacker. There were also reports of wounds on his head, indicating possible blunt force trauma, which has led to, of course, over the years, much speculation. Some people have said Ludwig, being so sad, just gave up and was like, you know what? I'm just going to fall down in this water and stop breathing. The suicide theory gets pushed aside by most people, and people posit likely that, you know, Ludwig was murdered to prevent his return to power.
Very plausible.
The political motives being very obvious. You have an uncle who was right there, ready and willing to assume the throne and then give the throne to his son. This is actually my favorite theory, is the accidental drowning theory. And I know it's a long shot for the drowning, but we know dry drowning's a thing. At least a variation of this idea is what appeals to me the most. And that would be that Ludwig was like freaking out. He sees his chance to escape and he starts trying to escape. But Dr. Gooden just like grabs his legs and is like, no. And the fight was Dr. Gooden trying not to hurt Ludwig. Why there's no signs of struggle in Ludwig's body, but Dr. Gooden getting attacked by Ludwig.
Well, that was my first thought when you said that, was like maybe he was trying to save Ludwig, and Ludwig was fighting back, trying to do what he was intending to do.
Right. Or a variation of someone kills Ludwig and Dr. Gooden is an unfortunate witness.
Yeah.
Right. And so they just kill him too to cover it up. Right.
Absolutely. It's so hard, but there's no evidence, so we don't know.
I just think no matter which way it's sliced, I don't think Ludwig wanted to live.
I would agree with that.
I think it would be very easy for him in that position to be like, oh, and now you're here to kill me. Of course, I've been expecting this for 3 days.
Right. Yeah, that's very plausible.
The initial investigation was conducted swiftly and somewhat superficially, leading to that official conclusion of drowning. Autopsy reports were inconclusive, did not resolve any of the ambiguities around the presence or absence of water in his lungs. It all happened so fast, and the political implications were so big that, of course, people were like, well, this is some bullshit.
Right. Absolutely.
That's not how it happened. People have wanted to exhume and re-examine his body. Nobody's ever managed to get it exhumed.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
We'll never know. Especially because, you know, it's like almost 200 years later. Come on. It's history now. Like, nobody alive today, you shouldn't be that emotionally attached to Ludwig's corpse.
Right.
You should be more curious as to want to solve the mystery, in my opinion. Ludwig II, King of Bavaria, in a really conservative culture, you can even be king and you can't come out of that closet.
That's very true.
And that's just sad.
I would think it's like doubly hard to come out of the closet when you're royalty. All the eyes are on you. There's so many expectations.
Which, by the way, I really blame the Catholic Church for in Western culture, because before the Catholic Church, it was like, oh, yeah, people getting off. Yeah, they usually do that with other people around. End of story. They usually have other people to help them get off. That's humanity.
Humans are humans no matter the age. Well, that was really fascinating information.
Hope you liked it. I'm going to be putting together a long form video on that, and there'll be a really nice long post on it over at halfcocktails.com.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about some science news.
It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a lap or two.
Okay, so I guess I should lead with the one that got you excited at the beginning. Excuse me, hydration.
Yes, I live in a desert. I want to hear this. I need to stay hydrated. And I always thought water was it. Like, you should be drinking lots and lots and lots of water to stay hydrated in the summer in the desert. So I'm curious to see what you found.
This isn't a new study. This is just a new to Dan study, right?
Okay. Well, new to me too, as well, apparently.
But the actual scientific study came out in 2016. I never heard of it, and then it came up, and I was like, "All right, well, I'm definitely releasing that on halfcocktails.com."
Yeah, I need to hear this.
So, yeah, it's not water. A group of researchers did this study, and they developed what they called the Beverage Hydration Index to identify how different drinks hydrate. They took 72 healthy and active athletic men, gave them different beverages, 1 liter beverages after working out and before working out. They did it every which way to figure out what's actually giving the human body the most hydration. And they did this by measuring the urine output after exercising and drinking. And then you can actually see how much, and measure in a lab, how much water and liquid, you know, how much mm-hmm. water, well, you know, what's mm-hmm. left over, mm-hmm. it got absorbed by the body.
I'll get to it.
The number one thing is oral rehydration solution, okay, which is happens to be a scientifically formulated drink to prevent and treat dehydration. It contains a precise balance of different salts and electrolytes mm-hmm. and different sugars like glucose to help replenish fluids.
I would imagine that's what they would like give someone that they found that was severely dehydrated, right? Because like that would be...
Yes, if you are in an emergency room,
right?
This is what they're giving you. Okay, this is the top thing. So after that, I want to read them. Should I read them backwards? I feel like if I was doing a great late night show. No, I'm just going to read them in order. The thing that you and I can get to hydrate the best mm-hmm. is whole milk.
I love that. Okay. I love whole milk, and I am a big believer in whole milk. I think we need those healthy fats.
Is
that's awesome.
The most hydrating liquid you and I have easy access to.
All right. I drink whole milk.
After that, it's skim milk.
Okay. I'm not a fan. Skim milk tastes more like colored water to me. I'd might as well just drink water if I'm going to drink skim, but that's probably because I drink whole milk and have for most of my adult life. So, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Now, so they did not test like soy milk or almond milk. They weren't part of it. But what they did find was that after milk and skim milk, everything was comparable to water.
Okay.
In terms of how much water is urinated out.
How much liquid, yeah.
So we're talking...
Milk and water.
Sodas, teas.
Right.
Coffee.
Gatorade.
Orange juice. A Gatorade, sparkling water, even a lager. They even tested a lager.
I will
say that Hangover lets us know that the alcohol in lager, maybe not in terms of water in that first 4-hour window, can definitely dehydrate you.
For sure. Yeah, it should not be your first choice to rehydrate.
Yeah. It's because they've got diuretic agents in them, right? Like caffeine in the tea and soda.
Exactly. Yeah, you want to keep as much of that liquid as you can.
Right, but what it like the amount of caffeine in a lot of them doesn't significantly impact hydration compared to water in that small instance. But when you string mm-hmm. them all together, then the caffeine content you've ingested for a day goes up. But if it's just one cup of coffee you have in the morning, that's not going to dehydrate you. You don't get enough caffeine to really enjoy that diuretic effect. Beverage hydration index.
There you go.
Milk.
Well, that is good news.
I do milk and soy milk. I've been switching back and forth for my protein drinks. And now I'm thinking I should just stick with the milk.
I love whole milk. I don't know. I'm a big believer in it. I years ago read a book called Nourishing Traditions, and it talked about food and nutrition and how to best meet our nutritional needs. And one of the things that I remembered from that was the whole milk. And so I just switched over to whole milk and have been a whole milk fan ever since. But it's surprising to me that that is the most hydrating after the emergency room liquids. Like that actually is surprising, but pleasantly so.
Yeah, I remember that joke in Anchorman where he's like, "Oh, it's hot. Milk was a bad choice." And I'm like, "Well, no, actually, that was a good choice, Ron Burgundy."
Yeah, I mean, cold milk. You don't want to let it curdle.
I'm going to blow through this second science story. Apologies to geologists. Sorry, Ron. And
is that why
he's
not here?
That's why he's not here today, because he knew I was going to blow
protest.
Through this. New study on the Earth and the Cascadia subduction zone, which is when you study plate tectonics. It's this long zone from Vancouver down to Northern California where one of the plates slides under another plate.
Okay.
Think the earthquakes in San Francisco.
Right. Probably, right.
Because it's right on this subduction zone. Right?
Okay.
Because you know that's what plate tectonics is like the Earth's like a jigsaw puzzle, but the pieces they move. Sometimes they slide under or over. Sometimes they bash. And it crushes inward or crushes outward. Right.
Sliding.
They've been using
together.
Yeah. They've been using sound waves to make a map of the subduction zones, and they found that that they break in segments and make distinct structures that affect future earthquakes. So they're seeing big variations in shape and depth of the subducting plate influence and the stress and how that strains on the fault. And how they're getting even better at earthquake dynamics, which are famously difficult to predict. They're saying like the actual overall structure and composition of that North American plate plays a big role in that fault behavior and how the earthquakes are shaped. There are a lot more details with like ocean floor sediments and whatnot, and obviously, they want to take this to have better earthquake detection, right? We want, especially in high-risk areas like San Francisco. And, of course, it can play a big part in tsunami prediction because tsunamis are big waves caused by earthquakes.
Yeah.
So really fun study where they're using sound waves to get these maps of plate tectonics that we've never had access to ever before. And that's why it's science, baby.
That's awesome.
Speaking of damage and destruction, you know what won't damage and destroy your wallet? Is going over to halfcocktails.com/shop and buying some branded merchandise and supporting the show and displaying your love of science and how destruction and damage might be a part of that if it's earthquakes or erosion. Well, even explosions, combustion. There's a lot of damage and destruction in science. And if that's your thing, you know, go buy some Half Cocktails branded science themed merch. Check it out. Halfcocktails.com/shop. You can tell how my energy level is when I try to hawk our own stuff. And I'm like,
there you go.
So sleepy time. Boys, how you doing? Let's talk about some snake oil.
Oh, snake
oil,
on sale for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
Okay, going back to a scammy type of story today. It's not all macroeconomics, Amber. Let me tell you.
It's not?
No. Though some weeks I look for more like macroeconomic things just because the scams are so repetitive. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just be saying like over and over again, like, yeah, that text message, don't fucking send them money.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
So this is definitely a twist on the scam. A story coming out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. They're having big issues there right now with men and women on the side of the roads and at intersections with signs that really tug the heartstrings. Funeral for Anna. 6 years old, died, diagnosed with leukemia. Please, any help. God bless. And it's got a picture of a little girl. And they're just, Grand Rapids is happens to be inundated. And
that's awful, though.
A news team called Target 8 for Wood TV, Channel 8 in the area, sent out crews to go ask these people where the money's going towards. Mm. And they were told things like, don't speak English, and then they'd walk away. One woman refused to talk, only and another guy just kept saying, what the hell, man, what the hell?
that's actually a really good indication that it's a scam, because as someone who's lost a child,
yeah, you'll talk about it and you'll be crying.
You want to talk about it. You want to share it. You're going to tell the story. Even the family members, if it was a family member standing out there, they're going to want to tell the story. They're not going to be like, oh, no, I'm not talking to you, or sorry, no English. And that's horrible. What a horrible, horrible scam. Because what it does, it damages the people that really do need the help. Because now people are going to be like, oh, it's a scam, it's a scam, it's a scam. And those that really do need the help are not going to be able to get what they need. And that's just, that's awful. I think that those are the times that I really hope there is a God that will be vengeful and punish those horrible people.
One of the guys actually smacked the reporter with his sign.
Ooh, that's another indication.
Yeah. So if they're getting angry because you asked for details, that's a big clue. A spokeswoman for the Grand Rapids Police Department has said that they actually got information that this is a traveling group attempting to solicit these funds with through fraudulent means. Soliciting donations is protected by the First Amendment, right? So we can't stop people from doing it. But like you said, this really hurts people that need this help. And we know there's so many people that need this help. They said that they found evidence of similar groups in South Bend, Indiana, Nashville, Tennessee, and Rialto, California. They're organized. This isn't just like a couple of people that are like, hey, you know, it'd be great. Like, this is an organized group going around the country doing this.
I know one of the scams of the begging scams that went around in Southern Arizona a little bit ago is there were families, like a couple with two kids, one or two kids, that would set up in parking lots and other places. And the young kid would be playing the violin, and it's beautiful and so talented. And they would be using their kid, basically, or maybe it wasn't even their kid, who knows, to solicit money to, you know, like help us pay our rent, help us pay our medical bills. And they would use the kid playing the violin, but it was discovered that there was, like, it wasn't the kid that was actually playing. It was like a recording, and the kid mimicked playing, but wasn't actually playing. And those are the kinds of things that are just awful. Like, they're, I don't know if it was a trafficking situation or, but using kids in any way.
I just came across that exact thing about a year ago.
Yeah.
Here in Vegas at a store, it was exactly what you're talking about. It was a young kid and his sister, and they had the sign and their mom was sick and they needed money for her. And he was playing it through a speaker. I didn't look close enough, but now I will to actually look and be like, I'll be like, hey, play this song.
Right.
Play Happy Birthday. Right. I'll give you $100 to play Happy Birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, because they would, it was like an electric violin, and it's horrifying.
So about a year, Rialto police in Rialto, California, arrested about six people on fraud. It says arrested about a half dozen on fraud charges. But the police spokesman actually said, "Don't give money." It's unfortunate. Here, quote. As sorry as it is to say, don't do it. Don't trust them. It's unfortunate, but in these times, people are out there trying to make a quick buck. And in this particular incident, they are preying on people's feelings. They do get aggressive. They're known to get aggressive. Thank you for joining us for the news. Let's move on. Let's talk about some fact-checking time.
Here we go. What do you know? It's fact-checking time. Will you believe or be deceived? It's fact-checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Here's the quiz that all the kids call fact-checking time.
Okay, welcome to fact-checking time, the news show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story and something that was actually fact-checked by the media. We're here in the Half Cocktails Lounge today with my lovely sister, Amber, who loves the woo and thinks she's always right, too. Amber, are you ready to play today?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
You're playing for Poncho the Cat, co-host of the Half Cocktails News Shorts, and whether you win or lose decides whether he gets wet or dry food for dinner. Now, let's get to the game.
So
I'm going to present to you a series of events and stories that were in the news this week. Oh, hold on. Let me I'm changing this up. I forgot to change the script. Okay. Let's get to the game. I'm going to present to you a series of events and stories that were in the news or on social media, but only one of them was fact-checked by a media outlet. Could be an article, could be a social media post, might be a television interview quote, but only some of them were actually fact-checked. Okay, are you ready to begin?
I'm ready. I'll do my best, Poncho.
Okay. Either a Tennessee city banned public homosexuality, or an official in Kenya said that gay male lions must have seen gay men and are just mimicking it.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, God.
Pride Month.
double there. Pride, the lion pride, and the gay pride.
Yeah, see what I did?
Okay, I see what you did there.
I noticed the words were similar.
What a ridiculous claim. Sorry, that's just stupid. The lion saw two men and thought, hey, that looks fun. Yeah, no. But which was fact checked?
Kudos to the two gay guys that were fucking in front of a lion. That's hardcore Mad Lad stuff.
I mean, that is some bravery.
Yeah.
God. Oh, where do these people come from? I believe this shit. I'm going to say that they fact-checked the city story.
Correct. The claim was Murfreesboro, Tennessee, banned being gay in public.
Mm-hmm.
It was a decades-old ordinance that included it, and the amendment was actually to remove the definition. So, believe it or not, it was the opposite of what people said it was about.
Yeah. Oh, I believe it.
A Kenyan official did say that.
God.
Because some lions were documented and witnessed having gay sex.
Well, they're not the only animals other than humans. There are a lot of animals that do that.
That happened, and an official named Ezekiel Mutua. That was his response. Yeah, fun stuff, right?
Wow. Hey, look, there's some lions. Let's have some gay sex in front of them.
Maybe it'll catch on.
Maybe we start a trend. Trend.
You haven't heard of lioning? It's very trendy in the gay community.
Oh, my God. All right. What's the next one?
Either the president of Argentina posted a picture of himself as Arnold Schwarzenegger's The Terminator, beating up old people with a caption that says, I'm the Terminator. I come from the future. And in the future, retirees are no longer a burden on the state.
Oh, my. Okay.
Or in an interview, director James Cameron said that he wrote the Terminator films. He made the Terminator a cop because he said subconsciously everybody knows that cops think of non-cops as not even human. And it was easy to see this cop be so aggressive with people because they weren't cops, so they weren't even human.
Oof.
Which got fact-checked.
Neither story is all that great, but which one would
But they're both about the Terminator.
I mean, okay. You men and your Terminator. No, just kidding. They're going to fact check James Cameron.
Correct. Well done.
Oh,
well done.
Yay, Poncho! You're welcome. You can give me some loving when you come up.
Yeah, the quote the James Cameron quote is, "Cops think of all non-cops as less than they are, stupid, weak, and evil. They dehumanize the people they are sworn to protect and desensitize themselves in order to do that job."
Wow.
That was out of a 2010 book that interviewed him.
Well, it's true of some cops. It is definitely not true of all. I know some really good people who are officers.
Hashtag not all cops. All right.
Not all cops.
Yeah, but those good cops let it happen. They let it happen. It's a culture. One bad apple spoils the bunch is the saying. Nope. That's the phrase.
It's very
people
true.
Say one
very,
bad apple and then they don't finish the phrase. It spoils the bunch.
Spoils all of them, yeah. If you've ever left a bag of apples in the fridge too long, sorry, go ahead.
I'm gonna have to start letting you bank the extras. So the last one is,
all right,
either Elon Musk asked engineers to boost his tweets after the president's Super Bowl post got more engagement than his, or the owner of the New England Patriots had his Super Bowl ring stolen by Vladimir Putin, and he's been urging him to please give it back.
Oh, wow. Where's my son when I need him? He's a Patriots fan. Oh, God. They're both ridiculous. That Elon Musk, man. He is something else. I saw one of those Tesla truck things while I was in Los Angeles this weekend. Those are the ugliest vehicles. I'm sorry. But that's just an aside. Okay, the fact-checked story is the New England Patriots coach ring.
Wow, well done. 3 for 3. Vindicating your previous loss.
Yes, I'm back. At least
so,
this.
That is crazy, though.
Wow. Did that really happen? Putin really took his ring?
What did the fact check rate? The fact check rates it unproven, but the story goes, Barstool Sports had a post about this, but stories have been on Twitter and Facebook and Reddit as far back as 2013.
Okay.
It's supposedly the owner, guy last name of Kraft, has told people this. And that's where this is coming from. Several times. In 2005, he met Putin. Putin asked to see the ring. He took it off and gave it to him. And Putin would never give it back. To this day. Putin just was like, oh, thank you.
Wow. I mean, I believe it, but wow.
What are you going to do?
This is
You're the owner of the Patriots. Vladimir Putin puts it in his pocket. He's got his Russian Secret Service with him.
Right. It's not like you can just punch him out and like grab it back.
He's a fucking leader of state. Yeah. What can I? Yeah. Wait. Grab him. Give me back my ring.
Give me my ring. Wow. Though that is some.
The details often shift, so it's rated unproven. Okay. The other one is an article by Business Insider Musk was butthurt that President Biden received more engagement for a tweet than he did. I think everybody's ready to accept that Elon Musk is that petty.
Well, and that was my reasoning. I was thinking about it, and I'm like, do we need to fact check that? Because I think because it's Musk, we just automatically know that he would be that ridiculously petty. I don't think it needs a fact check. So that was why I was
We used to follow him for the Two Bulls financial podcast. Uh-huh. And before he bought Twitter, there was a kid on Twitter that posted publicly all of his airplane activity, his private jet. Be like, which you can get from the FAA, right? Like,
right. They have
Taylor
to file.
He was doing the same thing for Taylor Swift. Anyway, Elon Musk kept trying to get him to stop. Even offered him money to stop. And the kid was like, wow. Elon Musk bought Twitter saying, I'm bringing free speech back. Guess who was one of the first accounts to get banned?
Oh, my God. Okay, that man has way, way too much money if he can go, well, you won't be nice to me. I'll just buy the platform and ban you. Like, give me a fucking break.
It also, to me, shows why we need public social media. We need
absolutely
a nationalized version of Twitter that everybody has access to. Even the Nazis. I'm sorry. You have a list of I can't yell fire in a theater, right? So there's going to be a list of things like you can't fucking say this or it will get censored, but you don't remove the account. You just keep censoring the bullshit.
Right.
Anyway, it's my two cents. Wow. Let's move on. Let's talk about something that feels good. Let's how about we do
that? Please. Let's do.
A call for a sip. Maybe even a hit. And join us for
Okay, so there's a new hope for back pain. I know your ears are probably perking up.
Yes, please.
For people who have intervertebral disc degeneration, like our mom had to get the vertebrae fused because they were degenerating.
Yeah, I have that in my neck.
Well, as you well know, all of the treatments for that, surgery, pain meds, provide temporary relief. They never fix the underlying problem, which is your discs are dissolving.
Right.
Well, researchers at the Sichuan University have developed what they call a mitochondria engine. And it's a special gel that's got that combines with a 3D printed support structure that actually helps repair the damaged discs.
I love the sound of that. Yeah.
So they print a thermoplastic polyurethane structure to give the disc the strength back. And then they coat it with this L-arginine amino acid to help boost the energy production in the cells.
Right.
And this gel activates the pathway to help repair and regenerate those discs. At the same time, it acts like a coolant to help reactive oxygen species that cause the inflammation and further damage to this. The coolant blocks those. It removes those harmful molecules. Yeah. So it actually, the gel itself creates that environment to heal. Yeah. So they tested it in the lab and on animals already. Results super promising.
Improving the health and function of damaged discs. Yeah. That study, because I do have, so I have some in my lower back where the discs are compressing a little bit. They're deteriorating, but they're not bad yet. But the ones in my neck, I actually have some bone on bone situation going in there. Yeah. And it's really weird because I can sometimes, depending on how I turn my head, I can hear the bones scraping. It's really weird, but I could hear this sound and I was like, that's really weird. And then when the doctor told me, oh yeah, you've got two vertebrae that are rubbing. I was like, oh, that's what that sound is. Okay. Yeah. I'm a mess.
This
could be very helpful. This is a great story.
No significant side effects either.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Well, keep me posted. If they ever start looking for participants, I will join up.
This is another half cocktail story that I got from science papers and not from not from the traditional news. And further, they say that they think they got applications for osteoarthritis and even certain heart conditions where improving cell energy production and reducing inflammation could be crucial. So their mitochondria engine is just a giant step.
We live in such an amazing time for medical advancements. Like this is some really awesome shit.
Science has never been better at a time when people have never been more ignorant of science. And that's part of why we do this show. Wow. That's what's in my heart.
So
and
true.
Why the fuel of keeping half cocktails going is yeah. I don't understand
Absolutely.
How we can be in the midst of solving all our problems with science and destroying all of our successes with ignorance. How yeah, are, we, how no, are both of these things true? Anyway.
Bizarre. Anyway. We flipped
back
into the
pain,
unknown.
Degenerative discs, big issue. We got moving on it. Some really
that is
awesome
some
researchers.
Really, really great news.
Yes, yes, yes. And on that note, we will wind down the show. Sadly, all good things have to come to an end.
They do, which is good because
like
I gotta
to
go
thank,
to the bathroom anyway.
Right, right. I'd like to thank U.S. Robotics and Mechanical Men Corporation, mm-hmm. the safest robots since Rock'em Sock'em.
Hey, they were some good ones.
Looks like, sadly, we don't have any time left for the 10 sex-crazed celebrities that you've actually got a shot with. I'm sorry, Amber, that's on me.
I've got a long list. I was hoping to see which ones coincided so that I could, you know, I got a long list of celebrities.
If I said 10 sex-crazed celebrities you actually have a shot with, number 4 will leave you breathless.
Which kind of breathless? Sometimes that's good and sometimes not so good.
Vague. We're leaving it vague. Sorry, folks, that on me. That's on me. I'd like to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and the Social Contract, making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Amber, any final thoughts, words, or goodbyes before we go?
Yes, refill your prescriptions.
Oh, good God. Yes, please. Please. Have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time with us today, you know what to do. Tell someone that needs to hear us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com. We're on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. If you're in a giving mood, you can find us over on Patreon. We'll have all of those links in the episode description. But for now, thanks for stopping by. Go out and be well.
Awesome. Have a great week.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked. Half-cocked, half-cocked. We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration. Oh, we're just leaving half-cocked.